Well, I'm not known as a long preacher, so you don't have to worry about that. Because after about 25 minutes, you fall asleep anyhow, so we don't want you in here snoring. So I have was given this opportunity, and I was really blessed by it. A couple weeks ago, the Lord gave me this message, and I wanted to talk to the preacher to see if I could maybe come up here and present it. Excuse me. And like I said, 3 weeks ago, he looks at me, he says, "You're going to be around on Christmas." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You're up." I said, "What do you mean I'm up?" He goes, "I want you to preach for me." So I said, "You know, that's really strange. You know, the Lord gave me this message." And he goes, "Well, you have an opportunity." But there's one thing that he said to me, and he was very specific about it. He says, "When you pray, do not, I repeat, do not say, 'God, do not let them see Mike Brohart,' but only hear Jesus Christ." If you remember the last time I gave my testimony, I said that. The video went out. You could only hear me. You couldn't see me. So preacher said, "Do not say that this time." So I promised preacher I will not say that. So if I had to give this message a title, it would be, "Silver and gold I have none, but Jesus, He's the one." So I want to pray before we get started and just ask the Lord to bless this message. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for this time of year that that little baby that was laying in that manger has grown up, has performed miracles, has brought people back from the dead, has gone to a cross, has risen from that cross, and today sits at the right hand of the Father. And because of him, we have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to present the Word of God. Lord, we do not take this lightly, and it's an honor and a privilege to stand behind a pulpit to present your Word. God, I pray that you fill me, you empower me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for these folks out here today that you would open their ears, open their minds, open their hearts. That's what about the said, that they could receive it. And Lord, that it would make a difference in their lives. Lord, once again, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for all those who are praying for me today, especially Pastor Sutter and my other friend, Pastor Brent. Lord, I ask that you be with Pastor Brent today as he preaches this morning as well. Be with him. Lift him on high as well. Give him the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. But I did forget to tell you I'm a long prayer. That's one thing my son used to say when we'd go sit down for Christmas dinner or something. I'd pray and he'd say, all the kids would say, "Aren't you done yet?" I just want to give thanks to the Lord because he deserves it all. Now, I need to put my glasses on. Okay, so today we're going to look at four men in the Bible today, their situations and their outcome. The outcome of the two men you might not like, and the other two remind us of ourselves. But the other ones, it should be shouting time for them. We're going to turn to Acts 3 today, and I don't have anything behind me, so if you have a Bible, you'll have to open it up today, and I will give you time to get there, because I have to get there as well. If y'all, when you got it, just say amen, that way I know I can begin. All right, saying amen's good, isn't it? Okay. I think we just read this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles, bones, received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, leaping, walking, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. That is so good. The first man we want to look at today is the lame man. He was born that way from birth, as we just read in Acts 3. It said he was carried to the gate, which was called Beautiful, every day to ask of alms. And alms is charity. It's money, clothing, food. Whatever was given to this man as he sat there, and he pretty much begged for it. And he needed to have something. Well, Peter and John entered that temple where the lame man was sitting. And he looked at them, and their eyes fixed upon each other. And the lame man who has been there every day, as we read, being carried there every day, he must have been hoping for something great from these two men. But the answer Peter gave the lame man was, silver and gold I have none. Nothing in their hands. Not what the man expected. Not what the man was looking for. Not what he had hoped for. What this man did not take into consideration was Jesus. The Bible says that he was taken there day after day, and it seemed, even though he was lame, he was satisfied by what the world could offer him. It could have been a piece of meat. It could have been some clothing. Whatever it was, excuse me, this man was satisfied with what he had. Now we want to go to Luke chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham from afar off in Lazarus' bosoms. Now we're going to compare men here. The second man we read about is a rich man. We read about the rich man. The Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. He lived a selfish in a splendor of luxury. He also was clothed in fine purple, with the finest white undergarments, which represented great wealth. This man was wealthy beyond all, boasting of his great wealth and his possessions and all that he had. The rich man had no need of anything. He thought he had it all, but did he really? Now let's look at the third man. But there was a beggar. He was poor, unclean, diseased, hungry, despised, who laid at the rich man's gate, desired crumbs that fell from his table. Now look, listen. It says, we read here, that word desires, it doesn't say that he received anything. He said that he desired to have something. This beggar was hoping for something, waiting for something, looking for something. I can't imagine being that poor, that distraught, that hungry, that you would be willing to just sit there and wait for something that may have fell off of this rich man's table, that may have just been swept up and to be thrown out, and there you are waiting for something from off of that rich man's table. You know, I look around here today and I have to say, we are so much better off than we think we are in our circumstances and situations today. I think there are times when people will, they'll look at me and say, how are you doing? And I even said that to somebody in here today, my brother Art. He said, how are you doing? I said, better than I deserve. Because we all deserve hell. That's what we deserve. But this man, he was just simple man. Whatever he got, he took. Now let's go read it about another man. We're going to go to Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. As preacher says, it's good to hear them pages. Verse 16, it says, now behold, one came to him, which was God, which was Jesus, good teacher, what good thing do I have to enter into the eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. That sounds simple. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And listen, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The fourth man we look at is another individual, the rich young ruler, who came to Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? Excuse me. Now, I wish I could take credit for what I'm about to say here, but I read this, and I think it's really good. The young ruler asked Jesus what he has to do to have eternal life. And this quote here says, eternal life is life that continues forever in God's presence, as opposed to eternal damnation apart from God's presence. That's a big difference there. You're either with him or you're without him. Jesus answered, to keep the commandments. He thought he had. Then he was told to leave all his money behind and follow Jesus. The man's response was that he could not. Was too much wealth. I'm sure there was fame that went along with it as well. All that he desired, he had. Just as the other rich man, he thought everything that he had was always needed. The first two men accepted what they received and were satisfied. And because they were not greedy, because they were humble enough to be satisfied, they were rewarded. You might be thinking, how can being poor, miserable, hungry, not knowing what you're going to wear or where your next meal is coming from, what kind of reward can you get for that? Remember, silver and gold I have none, but Jesus, he's the one. The lame man who heard the words, silver and gold I have none, Peter told him to rise and walk again. We're talking about a man that was lifted up, that was carried day, by month, by year to the same spot. And then one day, he looks and he focuses his eyes on Peter and John. And he accepted what he could get each and every day. And he did not expect any more. Until that day, he fixed his eyes upon Peter and John. And Peter and John spoke those words, arise and walk in the name of Jesus. And if you ask me, that's a whole lot better than anything he had received. Peter took his hand, raised him up. This same lame man that could not walk for all those years, now jumping with joy because of Jesus Christ. Jumping. And the Bible goes on to say that everybody looked at him. Everybody wondered about him. But they knew who he was because he was that same man that was carried there day by day. And because of Jesus, not because of silver, not because of gold, because of Jesus Christ, he was given that resurrection to stand up and to walk again. And he became a testimony for all those that seen him. The beggar who died was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is now in heaven with who? Jesus. The reward of eternal life, remember again, silver and gold I have none, but Jesus, he's the only one. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you we saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We look at these two other men, they boasted about everything they had, all their riches, all their wealth, they needed nothing. As we look at the rich man with the beggar who had everything, who didn't need anything, he had all the world had to offer him. He was content with his money and all that came along with it. In today's society, he could have anything he wanted. He could have the biggest house. He could have the fastest car. He could have the best meat. There was nothing that he couldn't have. But what he didn't have was Jesus. The Bible says that he died and was buried. We read about the beggar. He was carried by the angels and taken to Abraham's bosom. But this rich man who thought he had everything, the Bible simply says that he died and was buried. Then the Bible goes on to say, in torment, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So where did the love of the world and the money get this man? I'm sadly to say, eternal sentence in hell. Now, I'm not saying that money is wrong, but if you make money your God, you could end up in the same place this man did. The Bible is very clear in Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. And that's very clear. Now, the rich young ruler who thought he kept all the commandments, James 2:10 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's guilty of them all. So there's no way that rich young ruler was able to keep any of the commandments. And that's the way it is with us today. We always break in one of them. I broke plenty of them this week. I tell you what, when you're asked to preach, the devil is alive, the devil is real, the devil is out to get us, because there's just so many things that happened to me this week. I'd have to stop what I was doing and repent and ask Christ to forgive me, because I knew what the Lord wanted me to do this Sunday morning. And I tell you, he gets in your mind and he says, you're not worthy to get up there. You know, I'm going to tell on you. But guess what? God already knew what I was going to do that day. And I've already been forgiven for what I've done. But he doesn't know that. The devil, he ain't dumb. He's slick and he's sly and he's slimy. And oh man, I'm glad that he's defeated. Unless this man repented and asked for forgiveness, his eternity is too in hell. Now, the Bible doesn't say he went to hell, but we know that we have to repent and we have to ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts if we want to get in heaven. Jesus asked him to follow him. In doing so, the rich young ruler could have learned more about attaining this eternal life. Jesus talked about, again, silver and gold I have none, but Jesus, he's the only one. So the big question of the day is, where are you? Are you like any of these four men? Are you humble and satisfied with what you have? Or are you satisfied with what the world has to offer you? I know these are heavy questions, but these are eternal questions. I'm not sure how long I've been here now, but I know a lot of faces and some names. But what I don't know, where you'll spend your eternity. Let me say it again. Where you will spend your eternity. And given this opportunity to present the Word of God, it's my responsibility to ask. As we heard, there are only two choices you have to make. Actually, I'm wrong. Doing nothing and your choice is made for you. God has given me the ability to write gospel tracts. You have seen some of them in here. I have a tract that's called Hell. What do I have to do to go there? And as soon as you open it up, on the very top in big bold letters, it says absolutely nothing. So we can do nothing and we can end up in hell, or we can do something and we can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. You might be thinking, what kind of message is this? This is Christmas. Well, I'm glad you asked. There was a virgin woman who was told by an angel she was going to have a baby. The woman was espoused to be married to a man named Joseph. The espoused word just means there was a time period before they could come together. And there was a census that everyone had to go register. So Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem, where she gave birth. Jesus born in a manger, as we've seen this morning, a trough, something animals eat out. He did not enter the world as royalty. He entered as a little baby that needed a place to be laid. And there was no room for him. But there was a place for Mary to lay him, which is in hay in a trough. But this is Jesus. Why wasn't he given the best of best? Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. As Jesus grew up at the age of 12, he went into temples and he taught. He amazed the teachers and chief priests. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Can you imagine a little 12-year-old boy going among all these men were supposed to have all this knowledge. And Jesus is speaking, and they just stop, and they look at him, and they wonder, and they think, wow, what wisdom this little boy has. Not realizing and accepting that he is Jesus. Jesus began his ministry at about 30 years old. He chose 12 men to be his disciples. These men lived with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They slept in the same place Jesus did. They seen his miracles. But there came a point when Jesus was betrayed and taken away. These men who spent 3.5 years with Jesus, some denied him, some ran, some even hid in fear. Eventually he was beaten, placed on a cross, nails driven in his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns beaten on his head, and died. But hey, the story doesn't end here. As he told his disciples that didn't fully understand, in 3 days he would rise. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. What I like most with others, this would be the end. But with Jesus, this is just the beginning. You take all those so-called prophets, all those so-called people that are going to give us that eternal life, all those other religions, they all died. That was the end. But with Jesus, with his death, was just the beginning. He come out of that grave. He was victorious. You know, if we would only put our trust and our faith in Jesus and believe that he had what he has done, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, we too can be like those two men, the beggar and the lame man. The reward we can have is eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't even think that there's something you could have done that is too bad for Jesus to forgive you. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. My Bible says, I put some extra ones in here, for whoever shall call upon the name, the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can call upon the name of the Lord. I'm sure there were a lot of gifts given out this year, and that there was probably the right gift that you received this year that you wanted, and it made you happy and even made you feel good. But the true gift is Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birth on Christmas. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. An angel told Mary to call him Jesus, the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:21 says, and he shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Like I said, I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know where you're going to spend your eternity, but I do know that you cannot walk out here today without accepting the greatest gift you ever received, that is Jesus. Now let me tell you a story. When God blessed me in having my own plumbing business, I had opportunities to witness to people. See, normally when you work for a company, you're not allowed to talk about Jesus Christ because it's against their policies. But as Lord giving my own plumbing business, I had the opportunity to speak to a lot of customers. And I had opportunities to lead them to the Lord as well. Well, I had this one customer. Her name, I can't remember what her name, she's with the Lord now. But she had this tenant. And her tenant had an issue. So I went to her house to look. And when I would walk in people's homes, I would look around at something I could see that I could start up a conversation. And if you could find something you could start a conversation with, you could always lead that into Jesus. And what I did, I looked around and I walked in there. I seen she had this shelf and she had these books on there. And there was a Bible. And I said, "Whoa, we can talk about the Bible, can't we?" So I said, "Hey, I see you have a Bible." And she had a black eye, and she looked like she was beat up. And she said, "Yeah, I have a Bible." Now, I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm not trying to say that I know who everybody is by what they look. But this woman, she looked like she was a lesbian, that she was gay. By the way, she acted and everything, that's what I just felt. So I started to talk to her about the Bible, and she told me that From what she understood, her kind could not enter into heaven. Oh, that broke my heart. I said, that is a lie from the pits of hell. I said, that has nothing to do with it. I said, there is no reason why you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Once again, Romans 10:13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what color you are, how old you are, how short you are, how tall you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, educated, uneducated. It's the same for everyone. Whosoever, amen. I told her that that was a lie. She said, well, that's what she has been told. Hey, the devil is good, isn't he? John 8:44 said, he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Then I went on to tell her, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I opened my Bible up that I carried in my back pocket. And I took her to the scriptures, which were the gospel. And then I read over with them. Then I looked at her and I said these words that I say to a lot of people when I give them the salvation message. I said, if Jesus Christ would take you just the way you are, and he will, would you let him? She looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, yes. I led her in a prayer and she asked Jesus into her heart that day. Her next question was, what about my lifestyle? I believe that she was truly accepted Jesus Christ. I believed it all in my heart. I didn't think there was any phoniness in there. There was real tears coming in her eyes, and she was sincere. And I looked at her, and I knew in my heart that Jesus would change her lifestyle. So my answer to her was just find a good church, read your Bible, and pray, because I knew that God would take care of it. I didn't have to convict her of anything. She's already been convicted. She accepts Jesus Christ into her heart. What is ironic about that is, the lady that sent me to her house, she too was a Christian. I told her that she accepted Christ as her Savior. She told me that that person was a very mean person. She told me that nobody messed with that person. But when you go in the name and the power of Jesus, silver and gold I have none, but Jesus Christ, he's the one. That's how I went that day. And that person that was mean, that person was nasty, that person that nobody messed with, God removed the hardness from her heart. God removed the scales from her eyes. And she was softened to the point that she accepted Jesus Christ. So as I said earlier, there's nothing in your past or your present that can keep you from being saved and having eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. You know, maybe there's something in your life that's holding you back, keeping you from having that relationship with Jesus. We have an altar here. And believe me, I haven't seen many come up to this altar in a long time, and I include myself as well. But listen, if there's something that's keeping you from having that relationship with Jesus Christ, come up here today. Get it straightened out with Jesus. Make it right. And for those that are sitting here today that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you might say, well, I've been coming to church all my life. My parents went to church all their life. Surely that makes me a Christian. Sorry, that doesn't get you to heaven. You also might say, I do really good things. I give money, I help people, I donate my time. You think you're great things, but if you think you can get to heaven that way, then that is a big slap in Jesus Christ's face. If we can think we can earn our way, that we can buy our way, we can work our way to get to heaven, then what Jesus did on that cross means nothing. But you know, good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. As we all know, once again, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now in closing, I just ask that everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes. I'd like to ask you that same question that I asked that woman. If Jesus Christ would take you just the way you are, and he will, would you let him? Like I said, I don't know everybody's salvation in here today. I don't know who's going to heaven. I don't know who's not going to make it. But I want you to make it today. I want this Christmas to be the best Christmas ever. I want you to receive that gift of Jesus Christ. If you're in here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you come to church every week, but you've never asked Jesus Christ, I'd like you to do that today with heads bowed and eyes closed. It's simple. It's just admitting you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all you got to do. Say something like this if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and that because of my sins, I deserve death and hell. But your Son Jesus died, paid for all my sins. I'm asking you right now, the best I know how, to come into my heart, to give me a home in heaven. In Jesus' name." With head still bowed and eyes still closed, no looking around, I wouldn't embarrass anybody for anything. If there's anybody in the room that said that prayer for the very first time today, just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand in testimony that I accepted Jesus Christ. All righty. That's the message for today. And I hope it blessed you. I hope you take something with you when you leave here today. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to present a gospel message to you today. Thank you.